Guyon Griffiths Johnson, a pioneering scholar. Welcome to the Documenting the American South Highlights podcast. Doc South is a digital publishing initiative sponsored by the University Library at the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. Guyon Griffiths Johnson's 1937 book, Antebellum North Carolina, A Social History, was groundbreaking in at least two ways. First, Johnson was a female scholar publishing at a time when women were routinely marginalized within academia. Second, by directing her scholarly efforts toward previously neglected subjects, such as African Americans and women, Johnson opened up new territory in the historical study of the South. Documenting the American South marks Women's History Month by celebrating Johnson's life and work. Scholar Sarah Carolyn Tusson outlines the details of Johnson's life in a 2002 biographical sketch. Francis Guyon Griffiths was born in Wolf City, Texas on April 11, 1900. She graduated from Baylor College for Women in Belton, Texas, and in 1923 married Guy Benton Johnson. 1 year later, Guy Johnson received an offer to undertake graduate study with Howard Odum, a sociologist at the University of North Carolina. Guyon Johnson agreed to make the move to Chapel Hill with her husband, but only on the condition that she, too, begin doctoral work. Once at UNC, Johnson switched from sociology to history, a male-dominated department. As Tusson notes, quote, "On graduation day in 1927, Johnson's advisor congratulated her, but then quipped, 'Now that you have your PhD, go home and learn to bake a chocolate cake,'" end quote. Despite such comments and a lack of postgraduate support from the history department, Johnson continued to revise and expand her dissertation, even while raising two young sons. This dissertation became Antebellum North Carolina, which upon publication was widely praised. Two reviews in professional journals even called the book monumental. Nevertheless, quote, "Johnson and most female scholars of her day remained on the margins of professional life," end quote. Unable to find work with the UNC History Department in the 1940s, she turned her focus to volunteerism. She continued to write, though, and published two additional works, 1967's Volunteers and Community Service, quote, "An Ambitious Plan for Involving Volunteer Women in Anti-Poverty Programs," end quote, and 1980's Research in Service to Society, which she co-authored with her husband. Johnson died on June 12, 1989. In 26 chapters and more than 935 pages of clear, jargon-free prose, Antebellum North Carolina uses extensive archival evidence to draw, quote, "a picture of the way the average North Carolinian lived his life between 1800 and 1860, end quote. Significantly, Johnson does not assume that only white, land-owning males could be this average North Carolinian. Indeed, The Social Life of the Slave and The Free Negro are among the chapter titles, and the lives and experiences of women are described throughout. In Chapter 8, for instance, Johnson notes that the South was, quote, "the region where modest softness and flattering timidity in women were a fetish," end quote. But she also points out that there were, quote, "women in North Carolina taking an active part in politics long before Miss Susan B. Anthony's day," end quote. Johnson thus highlights both the social forces acting upon women and the individual women who acted in spite of or against those forces. Social change, and debates over the best way to achieve it, are among the topics of conversation in a July 1, 1974 interview that Mary Frederickson conducted with Johnson. She notes that during the civil rights movement in the 1960s, her husband believed in a policy of slow and gradual social change, whereas she herself did not always agree with him on the philosophy of gradualism, because she thought that, quote, "there comes a time when some dramatic change must be made," end quote. To illustrate her point, Johnson tells a story about working to get the Home Days Nursery, a child care center for the children of working African American mothers, set up in Chapel Hill. Johnson says that an accident in which three African-American children burned to death in a house fire because their working mother lacked child care services and had had to lock them in the house for the day convinced her that not all change could afford to be gradual. From the late 1940s onwards, Johnson was active in a variety of volunteer organizations, including the League of Women Voters, the North Carolina Council on World Affairs, and the Young Women's Christian Association. In a May 17, 1974 interview with Frederickson, Johnson discusses her volunteerism and explains that, quote, "Women can, by working together, get bills through the legislature. Because if you get 500 women to write letters, the men in the legislature are scared to death," end quote. Johnson thus makes it clear that volunteerism enabled women to exercise political power, even in a world that was largely hostile to women working outside the home. Tussin's article and Johnson's book are both part of Doc South's North Carolina Experience Collection, which collects a wide variety of print and manuscript materials that tell the story of the Tar Heel State as seen through representative histories, descriptive accounts, institutional reports, fiction, and other writing. Frederickson's interview with Johnson is part of Doc South's Oral Histories of the American South Project, which has made available online over 500 oral history interviews selected by the Southern Oral History Program. For links to the works and collections mentioned, and for other titles of interest, visit this highlight on the web at docsouth.unc.edu/highlights/griffiths_johnson.html. For the most recent highlight and a link to the highlights archive, visit docsouth.unc.edu and click on the highlights link. Thank you for listening to the Documenting the American South Highlights podcast.